A Fistful of Credits. Prologue Fiction, Chapter 4. The Response. Dreadlord's Office, Level 195. The Pinnacle, Aliso City, 38 ABY. Renovi responded to the closing of the transmission between Declan and her with an unceremonious slam of her fist on her desk. Her half-empty glass of whiskey rattled dangerously, teetering toward the edge of the table, and a knotted string of profanity spilled from her spittle-flecked lips. The words of the Grand Master, no worthy of her respect than the damned Lion of Tarthos was, seared into her mind, and if she could, she would utilize the Force to reach across the unknown regions into Celados so she could throttle the Mandalorian to death. "You're taking this personally. It's just business," the woman sneered. In fact, she almost had to fight back a laugh. She paced back and forth a bit behind her desk, letting the sentence soak into her like scalding water. It was like getting slapped. But the sting that lingered was more invigorating than demeaning. The burst of adrenaline that now overpowered her senses was akin to drinking a highly carbonated beverage, and all the bubbles were coming to the surface and threatening to lift her up in the air. "Just business, was it, Rurik? All right, then," Renovi thought. She would make it business. In fact, she would make it her business. Not just Pegasus, but hers. And she would take this as seriously as possible, even if it meant an all-out assault. Contemplating her options, the first thing Renovi decided was not to alert Tuquan. In fact, he could simply receive the news later. He was a good helper, an excellent second body, but not much more than that. As Wrath, he would carry out Renovi's demands brilliantly, questioning and challenging be damned. She punched in a few buttons on her transmission dock and sent a signal to the instigator. In a mere minute or so, the staggering hulk that was the Dreadbringer appeared in pale blue on the nearest holopad. He was wearing his helmet, because of course he was, and Renovi could spot the plumes of vapor emitting from the visor. Before Rathus could speak, the report of the gun's turbolasers filled the comm, and a brief cheer rang out as the gunners, having just vaporized some poor schmuck, celebrated. "Whatever or whoever you're working on," intoned Renovi over the ruckus din, "cut it off. I need you back on Aliso to speak with me." Rathlis silenced his crew with a hand.
"And what could be happening to recall us of all units?"
It was a rhetorical question, given oppressed squadron's purpose in the clan. But Renovi hubered him anyway. Besides, whenever he spoke with his modulator, the effect of it, multiplied voices, produced a slight twitch in her organic eye, no matter how much she had fought to ward it off. Almost like how nails on a chalkboard never sounded less grating. "Rathus," she asked, "would you do the honors of helping me start a wonderful war?" If Rathus still held joy in his heart, But he simply jettisoned another burst of vapor.
"Who's the lucky cadaver?"
Renovi could almost hear him salivating. Her sneer turned into an outright smirk. "You ever heard of a battle team called Death Watch?" Yinta Lake Spaceport, Volta, 38 ABY. Kel'Zar had been sitting at the same corner table in the retreat for over an hour now. She was not the biggest fan of alcohol, but she was still nursing a glass of ale as she waited for her confidant. Nearby, a hideous chain-smoking Voltan was on his 17th cigar of the evening. Perched next to him was a female with long olive skin strands that looked more like raw noodles than hair. Her lack of pupils was strange to Sawbrock at best, horrid sight at worst. The bounty had failed against the Diplegii. Not that she was surprised. After all, Dark Jedi had their ways of avoiding certain death, save for the most famous ones. And she was not deterred, either. Her correspondent had agreed to meet with her at the retreat within the hour, in order to discuss other plans and tactics to attack the Ascendant Clan. Kel'Zar may have been abandoned by the Collective as a whole, but not everyone within its ranks had turned their back on her. Some had defected. Some were on her side. The man who had assisted her in levering the bounty on Arden Karn Diplegii had his resources as well as plenty of credits. He had been an established mercenary for years, so he knew his way around Vizsla, even though he had sworn off any further allegiance with the Brotherhood. In fact, he had been a member of the Brotherhood himself, a Plagueis. He had risen in the ranks, even as a non-force sensitive, achieving Dreadlord's Wrath status even. And he had been allied with the Dreadlord herself. Now that was a delightful treat, to have such a partner. An assassin, a well-funded individual, with incredible insight on the clan Kel'Zar targeted. He entered the bar right on time, all crisp tunic and padded jacket, a DC-17 blaster pistol looped onto his belt. He walked with his hands in the pockets of his trousers. His light blue skin illuminated in the dim neon of the space. His bright eyes aimed forward. He was young, but worn down. Agile, but stuck with a cybernetic leg. Adept, but jaded. But not enough to retract his claws. The Zabrak had been passive when they met. She had found the Pantoran on Nar Shaddaa as he drank shot after shot of Shishirian vodka and vocally, loudly, reminisced about times in which he brawled for stims and booze on that very planet. The two had shared a bottle, had shared laughs, had shared bitter grudges, and now they could act on them. Together, they were a dynamic duo, and together, they had the means to create their own organization to fight back against Plagueis. The Pantoran sat down next, across from Kel'Zar, who smiled and gestured toward a tall bottle of vodka, accompanied by two tiny glasses. He wouldn't be the only person drinking. "Good to see you," asked Scott, she murmured. "I've got updates."